Right, we're going to give this a try. Recording a podcast. And an important question, if you're here for the first time, you're listening to these things for the first time, then I think you've come to the right place. Because the question, which is part of our planning section, are you ready to stop, is a massively important question. Do not disregard this question. And more important, don't make too many assumptions about yourself. It's important, particularly when you're sitting there thinking about these things, you're not talking to anybody, having to impress anybody, or having to convince anybody of how committed you are and so on. It's important that you really reflect on these things, because I can't tell you how damaging it will be to your chances if you are not honest with yourself. To know your weakness, to know the difficulties that stand in the way that are internal. In other words, they're your difficulties, not what is externally put in front of you. It's so important, because a big part of recovery, a big part of outgrowing your difficulties, is to use the difficult things, which includes your weaknesses, to grow. In other words, every difficult thing that you come across, and there's lots of them, there's going to be plenty of them, you have to flip them, you have to turn them on their head, and you have to use them as an advantage. You have to use them to grow. So the first question is this: don't assume that you're ready. Those people that fail to plan are planning to fail. I know it's an old cliche, but you see, cliches are there because they're true. And the more you plan, the more you prepare, the more chance you give yourself. So what kind of assumptions might you make? Well, I want to talk maybe about a couple, and I see them all the time. I specialise in this kind of work, as you probably know by now, and so people often sit in front of me and I say to them, are you ready to stop? I don't make that assumption, but often they have. What sort of answers do I get? You know, what sort of things do people tell me? You know, they say, oh no, I've got to stop. You know, oh no, I must stop. Oh, I've got no choice. You know, I hear this sort of thing all the time. And what I want to say about it is that you can really help yourself by understanding one really important principle. And that principle is this: you will get what you want, not what you need. Let me put it a slightly different way. You will move towards what you want. You won't move towards what you need. There's a massive tendency in our lives to look at our behaviour and say, look, you see what someone wants by what they do. And what you do, whether your addiction is behavioural or substance-based, we're largely talking about what you do, aren't we? We're talking about acting out or using. And so if what you do is largely governed, if not completely governed, by what you want, then what you want is more important than what you need. Because need is, yeah, it's one thing, it's a motivator, but I assure you, 30 years of supporting people in recovery has taught me that need is not a massive motivator. An alcoholic goes to the doctor says you need to stop drinking, otherwise you're going to die. It doesn't stop many people. The wife of a gambler turns to the gambler and says, if you don't stop gambling, I'm going to leave you. It's a motivator, but it doesn't stop a lot of people. Now, what you want is much more likely to get you where you want to go. So look at what it is that you really want. If, for instance, you're honest with yourself and you say, look, what I really want is to get people off my back. What I really want is for them to stop moaning and whining at me when I take my drink or when I, spend hours looking at internet gaming or whatever it is that I do, or I spend, you know, 80, 90 hours a week at work. What I really want them to do is to stop mithering me and leave me alone to get on with it. So these are the sorts of assumptions people make. is that because they have a desperate need, that somehow they'll be successful. Not necessarily so. So ask yourself now, as part of your preparation, what assumptions am I making? What am I assuming about myself that this guy is telling me, don't do it? Ask yourself these questions honestly, and the more honest you are and the more you understand your difficulties, the better you'll be prepared. So what do we mean by preparation? Well, there's a lot to it. I want to cover three questions today that might help you to prepare. So let's have a look at them. Question one. Are you ready to do the work of recovery? Question two, which you could swap these around really, but question two is, do you want to stop? And question three are, what things stand in your way? So I'm going to take them one at a time. I'm going to spend a few minutes on them because it's really important how you think about these things and how much energy you put into this before you even try and change anything, right? Before you even do anything. I know you're under pressure probably to make some changes, to show people that you're committed and so on and so forth. Maybe people have paid for you to go to rehab, maybe it hasn't worked and so on and so forth. We're all in slightly unique situations here. But let's take them one at a time, because as you'll see from these questions, they don't assume. First question, are you ready to do the work of recovery? What on earth does that mean? Well, it means this. Everything of value is going to cost you. Everything of value is going to cost. There's a cost to everything. And I'm going to bring another principle in here. You'll hear me do this a lot as we talk about recovery. I work based on certain principles of human observation. And here's another principle. And the principle we're talking about is the principle of getting something out of what you do. In other words, I can put it another way. I can say we only do things because we get something out of it. Now, again, a massive assumption you might be making is, oh, you know, I get nothing but heartache from this. I wish I didn't have to do it. It's terrible. It's just ruining my life. And so this helps you make an assumption to say, I'm not getting anything out of this. What are you talking about? Don't make that assumption. I assure you, if you do some reflection on this, if you think about this carefully, you will find that you're getting a lot out of it. Otherwise, you would stop doing it. Now, here's one mistake we can make when we make this assumption. We can look at something which is often called comfort zones. We can say, oh, well, you know, it's a comfort zone for me. But I don't like this title. I often change this title for my clients and I say, look, start calling it a familiarity zone and you'll do much better. Because when we call it a comfort zone, we miss this important idea that actually these zones can be incredibly uncomfortable. In fact, I would go as far as to say most comfort zones are uncomfortable. So if I call them familiarity zones, then it helps me understand that I can be there because it's familiar to me. And familiarity brings security and all sorts of things that we value. Even though it may be incredibly uncomfortable to be there, but we're used to that discomfort. We know who we are when we feel that discomfort. Sometimes it's that discomfort is about blaming others. And so there's a tremendous amount of security in it. So just really try hard to apply that principle to yourself. Where are my familiarity zones? And until you're ready to spend time outside of those zones, which can be extremely challenging and one of the reasons why you need support, then you're really not ready to stop yet. I want you to succeed, not fail. I don't want you to be running at this thing with everything you've got only to feel disappointed and fed up. Plan to succeed, not fail. So when you ask yourself this question, are you ready to do the work of recovery? This is a really important question. How much you're willing to pay? What are you willing to give up that at the moment is bringing you security? That at the moment is bringing you a familiarity? Are you ready to step out into territory you have not stepped on before? If you stay in that familiar place, you're going to things are not going to change. The old saying used to be this, used to say, if you do what you always did, you're going to get what you always got. And that's so true. If you're willing to step out into new territory, well, then that can be scary. There's nothing familiar about it, and so on. Other forms of the work of recovery is about challenging a big movement that's probably been happening in your life. As you've moved more into addiction through becoming dependent, becoming addicted, starting to do this thing or take this stuff, even though it's starting to really cost you, then I want you to understand a massive shift that you've started to make. And I can't tell you how big a key this is to thinking about your recovery. You see, one of the massive insights that we've made into recovery in the last 50 years is to understand that addiction is all about dead things. And this sounds extraordinary, doesn't it? But you see, this is so basic and fundamental to the way human beings work. You see, if you think about it, any form of addiction, anything that you become addicted to, any form of addiction that you know about, they're all inert or dead things. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's work, whether it's gambling, anything that people get addicted to is essentially dead. And so what's the important factor there? Well, what it means is this. It means that somebody who's becoming addicted is slowly being tempted out of the living world. When you get addicted to something that's dead, there are certain advantages to developing that relationship as opposed to a relationship with something living. And those advantages are that the thing that you're becoming friends with, or you're becoming engaged with, you know what to expect. It's consistent. It gives you what you want all the time. It doesn't answer back. It doesn't have high expectations of you. It doesn't really challenge you. You see, so there's all sorts of temptations that as you find living, engaging with the real world, the living world, more and more challenging. Relationships themselves with other living people. Addiction is about withdrawing from all that. So when we talk about the difficulties here, it's important to understand the nature of those difficulties. So one of the bits of territory we're going to be stepping on is that territory of re-engaging with the real world. Now, are you ready to do that? Are you ready to confront some of your difficulties in the way human relationships work? To be engaged, to be bonded, literally, with people, as opposed to something inert? So those are a few questions about how ready you are to do the work of recovery. This stuff's challenging, and believe me, I'm not trying to put you off here, I'm trying to prepare you, because we have this saying, which I find myself using a lot, expectation changes experience. Now, just say that to yourself a few times and just realize that expectation changes experience. When you expect something, that's going to really change the way you experience it. If I go out tomorrow and I believe the weatherman it's going to be sunny, and I get my nice sleeveless shirt on and I'm out and it's throwing it down and freezing cold, I'm going to have a very different experience because of what I expected. So let's move on to the second question now. Do you want to stop? Again, massive assumption that you might make about yourself. Do I actually want to stop? Again, we look at this principle, you get what you want. You might be surprised to think about yourself this way, because often people feel hopeless at this stage. There's often been a crisis, some kind of emergency that brings them into treatment, and they feel utterly hopeless. They've been defeated. They've been beaten by this thing. They think, I'm so useless. Why can I not stop this? And so on. So it's important to help you understand that still you are a human being, and human beings largely get what they want, because what they want, they're naturally motivated to go for. So again, don't make this assumption that you actually want to stop. Ask yourself the question and maybe write down, I know this is a difficult exercise, but if you get a piece of paper and you put a line down the middle and do pros and cons and ask yourself seriously, because you don't have to show this to anyone. No one has to hear this. But put down seriously, what do you think it would bring you to stop? What do you think it would cost you to stop? And then just ask yourself, am I actually ready to stop? Or do I need to change a few of these things first before that balance sort of tips over at a sort of a critical mass to say, yes, now I'm ready. Let's look at the third question. What things stand in the way? Which they're all related, these questions, okay? But I could put in a little thing in brackets there. I could say, what things, brackets, in you, close brackets, stand in the way? Because that's what we're talking about. The more you realize that everything that stands in your way is within you, not outside. It's not your difficult boss. It's not your nagging wife. It's not the difficult, you know, the addictive nature of a certain substance. It's not the fact that you've lost all your money gambling and you need to get it back. These aren't your difficulties. These are distractions. These are things that stop you from dealing with the thing you need to deal with. So let's look seriously at what things in you stand in the way. This is where you have to be probably more honest than you're being at the moment. Maybe even ask some people. Now, this is tough, right? But if you ask people close to you, you ask your workmates, you ask your partner, you ask your family members, you ask friends who you've known for a long time. And here's the important bit. Listen. Listen. Don't be trying to argue with them about, you know, that they're not right or they don't understand you or whatever. Get a sense from them. What if I try and stop doing this, what do you think I'll find difficult about it? What do you think it is in me that was going to make that difficult? And you'll be so helped by the answers that you get, because get this, they know you. They know you. And in some ways, they might know you better than you know you. So ask for those answers and start to use them. Now, I want to just cover a couple of things before we close here. And I hope this has been really useful for you in thinking about preparing. Please don't let it put you off, but let it help you prepare properly for what you're trying to do. Let me ask you this. How many times have you tried? Again, this is so important. If this is your first go at it, then allow yourself to prepare properly because you want to succeed first time, right? You want to get it right. Now, if it is, you know, maybe you've tried many times, okay, fine. But now we need to flip that on its head and we need to say, okay, if you've tried to do this 3 or 4 times before, let me tell you something. Instead of looking back on that and saying, oh, you know, I've been so hopeless, I've tried it, I've always failed, don't think of it that way. Don't think of it that way. Flip it on its head and now ask yourself, if you were a scientist, you would understand something. And that is that what you've got here is valuable data. You see, getting something wrong or knowing something hasn't worked is as valuable to a scientist as when something does work. Because that gives them the information, oh, well, we won't try that again, right? That gives them the information that says, now, well, we now know this. And if you look clearly and not with judgment at your past of trying these things, what you will discover is extremely valuable. And you've paid for it, by the way, so you better use it. This has cost you, right? So look at your past and say, well, when I've tried to do this before, what happened? And that's where you need to be honest, because if you're, you know, I often think of this like an old medieval sort of wall round a village or a castle. Where that wall is down, that's where your sentries need to be posted. That's where, you know, that's where the enemy can get in, right? So if you use your past to help you understand your weakness, because we've all got them, right? You're not weakness free, obviously, right? So use your past. How many times have you tried? What happened? What failed? And remember this, right? To look at it in a positive way, because You are no longer that person. Whoever that person was who tried in the past, you have added to that. You are more than that now. So don't let it put you off. Just look clearly. Okay? And one final thing I want to put to you here when we talk about preparation, and it's this. Where is your support coming from? Where is your support coming from? Now, this connects with the idea of addiction that we talked about previously, which is that addiction is the slow, or sometimes not so slow, temptation into the dead world, into the inert world, into bonding with inert things. So the idea of support can be very difficult. Sometimes people live on their own, you know, and they're so isolated, you know. But it's so important. When I talked about asking people that you know what stands in your way before, this is the sort of level that we're talking about, how you need to engage with other people, even if it's, I don't know, a group or some kind of a group you can join, or some kind of a maybe a local drug service or something that you can go to that says, I need to get feedback. Now, there's all sorts of reasons for this, but I'll just give you one basic one, which is so important. You see, brain research, recent brain research, is showing us massive things that we just didn't understand before. But digital ability now, it gives us the ability to research the brain and know so much more than we ever did. And so what are we finding? Well, number one, they're finding that the brain is much more flexible than we realized. You're not just fully developed at 7, as like the Victorians believed. Actually, you go on developing and can go on developing your whole life. But there's other important information that's coming out. And one of the important things for anyone who's isolating is that isolation is not, we always knew it was bad for you, but we're finding out just how bad it really is now. You see, you might believe that you can think your way out of this, but it's very unlikely. Very unlikely that you're going to sit in a room all isolated and think your way out of this difficulty. Why? Because your thinking is flawed. And as you sit there and think it through and think it through and think it through, that flaw is magnified. Any flaw you have in your thinking, if you do not expose it to external conversation, that flaw will actually be magnified. So your flaw gets worse. And that's a difficult thought, isn't it? But you see, the moment you start talking to someone else, number one, the biggest difference is it now becomes audible. Now, I can't go into all the complexities of that, but basically your brain, when it hears things, rather than the thinking, which of course doesn't make any noise at all, when you hear something, it goes into your brain as new information. And so it's so important that you talk this thing through. And as soon as you start talking to someone, your ideas are then influenced from another direction. And it breaks that cycle of your own flaw. It introduces new ideas, new perspective. And that is absolutely vital for your recovery. That's where somebody like myself comes in, or other support in your life. Now, that support can come from your partner. It can come from your mum or your dad or somebody close, like that family member. But much better if it comes from some other source. For instance, one of your friends or colleagues, workmates, or somebody, particularly somebody who's not suffering from the same thing. It's not usually a good idea to get together with somebody who's got the same difficulty. You want somebody with a different perspective. Now, support takes many forms, but one of the things I really want you to think about is, where is my support coming from? So let's have a quick review. What have we talked about today? Mainly, it's about preparation to recover from addictions, and we're saying, number one, don't make assumptions. Don't believe that you're automatically in a place ready. Do understand that you need to prepare. Do understand that if you don't prepare, you're giving yourself a lot less chance. Ask yourself these questions. Are you ready to do the work of recovery? Do you really want to stop, not just need to? And what things in you might stand in the way? Use your past. If you've tried this before, your past is extremely valuable, even though you look upon it as a failure. And finally, ask yourself, where is my support coming from? If you have got a lot, maybe hopefully out of this podcast and have learned something, if you want more, then do please subscribe to this podcast. You will get regular updates. They're all free. If you want to know more, by all means, ring the number on the information that's on the site there, or send me an email. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and until next time, bye for now.